The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We're all descendants of, and by we, I mean Australia, New Zealand, Canada, the United States. We are all descendants of primitive, warlike island people in Great Britain. I mean, we're all former English colonies, and Britain ruled the world because the Britons were tough as hell, really tough and independent-minded, ferocious in their spirit. You know, there was good and bad in that, but that's who they were, and that's why they dominated, and they bequeathed to the world this remarkable culture and justice system and language, and they really improved the world more than any other group ever. And to see their descendants, which is us, you, me, Canada, New Zealand, display the spirit of obedience and cravenness, I am ashamed to watch it, not just in Australia, but in the United States. I'm ashamed. I cannot believe this is happening in my country. Where are the fiercely independent Americans? And I mean this. It's not talking point. I really mean it from my heart. Like, where the hell are the people who founded the country? Where are their great-grandchildren? Hiding indoors because of a virus? I mean, where are the men? It kills me to watch it.
That's Tucker Carlson, of course, on an interview in the UK just this week. A little bit of United States and Britain in prophecy right there. He doesn't... understand the spiritual dimensions at play here. But he's pointing out what should be obvious to any observer. Look at our history. And now look at us today. What are we doing to ourselves? It hurts to watch your nation dying. That's what he's saying there. To watch us commit suicide, basically. Why will you die, O house of Israel? That's what it says in the Bible. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining our growing audience. You can get to our audio live stream at CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, Channel 3 on that platform. And then the video only, or offered exclusively, the live stream video, that's at our website, thetrumpet.com. You get a nice alert there at our homepage every day, about 10 minutes before the show goes live. And then you can go to thetrumpet.com/live. If you want to get to the live stream page directly or get to the podcasts after the fact so that you can listen or view on demand. So that's Tucker's assessment. It kills him, he says, to see what's happening to our nations. Now, we've been talking about a prophecy regarding Jeroboam, going to Amos 7 quite a lot and 2 Kings 14, and there's other passages as well. Our book, Great Again, I don't think that's here with us, but that certainly is a book we refer back to often about those Jeroboam prophecies. And really, he's one of the few, Donald Trump, who's standing against this. He came along in 2016, he wanted to make America great again. And here again, he doesn't understand or see the spiritual dimension behind all of these prophecies as they're unfolding. But it is refreshing to see Donald Trump stand up to this communist attack. This communist attack, not just on the United States, but as Tucker noted, Britain, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, all the same people, all Israelite nations. For more on that, of course, you need the United States and Britain in prophecy. You can call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024, and request your free copy. This book by Herbert W. Armstrong, it went out to more than 6 million households around the world. And you can not only see just by looking at a commentator like Tucker Carlson, and look at our relatively recent history and see all the connections with Great Britain. But you can go back all the way to the book of Genesis and understand who we are, where we came from, And why? Why so many of these tremendous blessings are now being taken away from our people? Going back to the Jeroboam prophecy and Donald Trump. In the UK, he was, I don't guess he was in the UK, but he was interviewed by Nigel Farage in the UK this week. And notice what Donald Trump had to say. This is clip 9.
I mean, difficult in a pandemic to win as a president, as a leader. But the real effect, of course, was for the first time ever in America, tens of millions of ballots being sent out through the mail system.
And well, they use COVID, or the China virus, as I call it, to rob and rig and steal an election. And they sent out millions and millions of ballots. Nobody knows where they went in so many cases, and it was a disgrace. And everybody knows it. You look at even polls now, a big percentage of our country knows it, and it's very bad for democracy.
A majority of the country, the United States, they know it. They know there was a lot of cheating. They know it was stolen. Well over 50% now. Nobody in the media would tell you this, because that's still, well, that's censored. That's blotted out. The spirit, of course, behind all of this is to blot out even the name of Israel. But he gets on TV over in Great Britain and he just says it. Yeah, of course it was stolen. And this is horrible for our nation. And Nigel Farage, for his part, yeah, for the first time ever, tens of millions of ballots sent through the mail. And Donald Trump exposing the fraud and saying it was the COVID, the China virus. That's what they used to steal the election. This is from one of our blogs in the UK that Richard follows. Farage's interview with Trump last night was box office for GB News. Figures seen by Guido. The interview pulled, according to this blog, the interview pulled in Farage's highest ever viewer count and the largest GB News viewership since its original opening night. And it goes on and talks about how it had a larger audience than the BBC. The state-run BBC. When Donald Trump speaks, a lot of people, not just in the United States, but evidently in the United Kingdom as well. And there he was last night saying, yes, it was stolen. Of course it was stolen. Everybody knows this. And they used COVID-19 as a pretext for the great steal. He says it. It's interesting, too. There was a tweet today, I guess, informing us that Germany is going into a nationwide lockdown for the unvaccinated, just for a certain sector of society. They're locked down. They can't go out if they didn't get the jab. And it was Donald Trump Jr. who tweeted out, historically, this doesn't end well. Here again, it's coming from the Trump family, a little bit of a truth bomb. We've been talking to you about Germany and its history and also what it's prophesied to do for decades. That's right. Nationwide lockdown just for a small section of the country, a relatively small population. Does that sound familiar? Does this end well? Donald Trump Jr., he's right. This is not going to end well for Germany or for any of the rest of us either. Notice what the illegitimate president, a reporter asked him, you know, about some of the things that Donald Trump did when he closed down borders and tried to protect the United States early on in the pandemic. And notice how Joe Biden responds to this question. Hopefully you can hear it well enough. This is clip 4.
President Trump instituted the travel restrictions. It was a real shock to European allies. Are you committed to...
Unlike Trump, I don't shock our allies.
Right. He says it with glee. As soon as Donald Trump comes into the discussion, it's so easy, their response. Well, he was Hitler and I'm an angel. I didn't shock anybody. Well, try telling that to European nations. Try telling that to all of the countries in the Middle East when the United States evacuated Afghanistan in August. Remember that? Remember how shocked the world was at the rapid withdrawal? What about France and the way they reacted to the U.S. deal with Australia, that submarine deal? That was a couple months ago as well. This is from the New York Times. Calling American and Australian behavior unacceptable between allies and partners, France announced on Friday that it was recalling its ambassadors to both countries in protest over President Biden's decision to provide nuclear-powered submarines to Australia. I think France was kind of shocked by that. What about the African nations, going back to this travel ban, what about the African nations that have not one case of Omicron? Not one case. Do you think they were shocked when they heard that, well, we can't even travel into the United States anymore? Listen to this exchange between Dr. Fauci and a reporter that comes from one of those African nations. This is clip 3.
Dr. Fauci, with all due respect, there's zero case of COVID, of Omicron case in Zimbabwe, in Namibia, in Lesotho, in Mozambique. What justify imposing a travel ban on countries that have zero case of the Omicron variant?
You know, that's a very good question, an important question, and we did struggle with that.
Oh, they did struggle with putting a travel ban in place for countries that don't even have the Omicron virus. He lists them off. Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Namibia. Why are they numbered among the 8 nations? Who made the policy? Who made the decision? And then, of course, it originated in South Africa. There was another question where someone said, well, you know, if your immediate response to someone that's trying to help you, you know, the South African health official saying, hey, there's this new strain. It's really mild, by the way. It's nobody's going to the hospital for it, but there is this new strain. And then, bam, down comes the travel ban. And the reporter's question was, do you think countries are going to be a little hesitant to tell you next time if there is an outbreak? If this is going to be your reaction? If this is going to be how you respond? And here again, Trump does it, and he did it with the right nation, China. Travel ban of China, and he's racist. But Joe Biden, I mean, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's not even a life-threatening virus. It's weaker than the original. It's weaker than the ordinary flu. And yet they're using it yet again. Yet again, just like Donald Trump said with Nigel Farage, they use it to carry out their political aims, to carry out their agenda. They have to use it. Listen to this again. This is Dr. Fauci yesterday, clip 5.
Has you advised the president about the possibility of new testing requirements for people coming into this country? Does that include everybody?
The answer is yes, because you know that the new regulation, if you want to call it that, is that anybody and everybody who's coming into the country needs to get a test within 24 hours of getting on the plane to come here.
But what about people who don't take a plane and just these border crossers coming in huge numbers?
You know, that's a different issue.
Okay, that's a different issue. I mean, he tells you right there it's all politics. The ones crossing into the border illegally, no tests for them, no restrictions for them. In fact, give them handouts. We'll try to give them $450,000 in some cases. Send them all over the country. Spread them out. COVID positives, doesn't matter. Omicron, just spread them across the country. That's okay. That's a different issue. That's part of the agenda as well, wide open borders. Those are future Democrats. So let them in by the millions. It's up over 2 million this year. But for everyone else, we lower the boom. For everyone else, we've got some new restrictions planned. The Washington Post broke this story yesterday. I guess it's supposed to be announced today. As part of an enhanced winter COVID strategy, Biden is expected to announce Thursday, that's today, U.S. officials would require everyone entering the country to be tested one day before boarding flights, regardless of their vaccination status, even if they got the vaccine. You still got to get tested. You know why? Because the vaccine doesn't protect you from COVID. That's why. Is it making sense yet? I hope so. It says here, before boarding flights, regardless of their vaccination status or country or departure, administration officials are also considering a requirement that all travelers get retested within 3 to 5 days of arrival. So we're just following the way of Britain and Australia. Look at what's happening to our countries. I mean, it's just killing me, Tucker says. Where are the men? Where are the leaders to stand up to this? Says, in addition, they're debating a controversial proposal to require all travelers, including U.S. citizens, to self-quarantine for 7 days, even if their test results are negative. Even if they test negative. Now, how they're going to track this or monitor this? They basically had this policy in the U.K. when we were living over there last year. And the U.K. is not split up into 50 states. How the feds are going to try to get cooperation from state authority? Maybe they'll use the DOJ and the FBI like they do going after parents. But it was just kind of creepy when you're in the UK and you're getting these text messages from the government. They know. I mean, they track. They see who's coming in and out of the country. Even there, it's near impossible to monitor in every case. I'm sure a lot of people coming into the UK didn't keep with those quarantine requirements. But still, and all of this because of Omicron. That's the latest strain that the propagandists in the media have been using to try to scare people into submission. Never mind all of the drawbacks to locking it down. Never mind that the cure has been worse than the disease from the very beginning, and especially so now. Ronald Klain, he's the chief of staff, I believe, for Joe Biden, the fake president. It says stronger COVID measures produce, listen to this, try to wrap your mind around this. Sam emailed me this morning and said, you know, I see these crazy statements, and typically I at least try to analyze it and understand the agenda behind it. And more and more, they're just so incomprehensibly bizarre. You can't even understand. There was a commentator just this morning that said, well, the Republicans, they want this virus to continue. Conservatives want it to continue, says the commentator. He should be talking about the people at his roundtable because they're the ones talking it up constantly. Omicron. Here's the tweet from Ronald Klain. It says, stronger COVID measures produce stronger economic outcomes. Can you believe this? Yeah, the more we lock everything down, the better it is for our economy. That's some kind of demonic reasoning right there. Calling up, down, and black, white. Evil, good, good, evil. Here's Joe Biden yesterday saying that the supply chain crisis, it's really not a crisis. Clip two.
If you watch the news recently, you might think the shelves in all our stores are empty across the country, that parents won't be able to get presents for their children on holidays this holiday season. But here's the deal. For the vast majority of the country, that's not what's happening.
For the vast majority of the country, it's just everything's perfect. Everything's perfect. I like how that when they respond to these disasters, they either say, it's not a disaster, it's perfect. Or, well, if it is a disaster, it's COVID. It's COVID, or it's Trump's fault. Listen to Joe Biden in the same press conference. This is clip one.
I can't promise that every person will get every gift they want on time. Only Santa Claus can keep that promise. But there are items every year that sell out that are hard to find.
Some of you moms and dads may remember Cabbage Patch Kids back in the 80s or Beanie Babies in the 90s or other toys that have run out at Christmas time in past years when there was no supply chain problem.
So is there a supply chain problem or not? And then Cabbage Patch, who's writing this? He's reading from a teleprompter. Are the speech writers, do they want people in America to just mock him? And, you know, it's interesting. I was in my car listening to the Fox feed just on the radio after the show yesterday, listening to his speech, and it just does not sound good. And I mean, it's not like he just looks great either when you're watching it on TV. It's almost, like Tucker said, it's almost painful to view what's happening to the United States. And as you know, it's not even him. The puppet master behind him is Barack Obama. The speech writers, they submit to Barack Obama. And so Cabbage Patch dolls and Beanie Babies, it's just totally normal. Remember the Cabbage Patch dolls? I mean, you cannot make this up, what we're seeing. There's the fake president of the United States of America talking about dolls and Beanie Babies and reassuring you, trying to, that everything's fine. You do wonder, I think this was brought out at the conservative treehouse, you do wonder if some of it's by design. You know, make him look foolish. Make it sound so ridiculous that people will mock him and make fun of it. He's the fall guy, after all. Behind the scenes, the agenda just continues right on. I mean, we've got Omicron. We've got lockdowns coming. We've got travel bans. Listen to Tucker Carlson last night. This was not in the interview that I played there at the top, but from his own show, Clip 7.
As the Democratic Party comes closer to certain defeat a year from now in the midterms, all of this will intensify. That's the whole point of it. It's how they won last time, and so they're doing it again. Omicron. Not a single person is in the hospital in South Africa because of Omicron, and yet that's the pretext upon which the CDC has just assumed surveillance powers. You don't need to be a genius to connect the dots here. But there aren't a ton of geniuses running the Republican Party, apparently. They still don't seem to understand what is happening. Listen to them, and they talk like this is about a virus.
That's Tucker getting about as close as he can get to the election steal, where he says this is how they won last year, echoing what Nigel Farage said in that interview with Donald Trump. But it's Donald Trump, every time, who just comes right out, full frontal assault, on this corruption, this evil, and says they stole it and they're stealing our country. They're stealing our country. This is bad for democracy. This is bad for the world. Right now, the communists have the control. This is that New York Times author I mentioned yesterday. His name's Donald McNeil. Remember the one we played the clips for, and he was early on in the pandemic, he was singing praises for these Chinese concentration camps, these quarantine camps, where basically COVID positives, they were kidnapped and then forcibly put inside these detention centers. This is him writing, Donald McNeil, writing for the New York Times on February 28th, 2020. So this is before the world went into lockdown. Listen to how he writes about fighting off viruses. It says, there are two ways to fight epidemics, the medieval and the modern. The modern way is to surrender to the power of the pathogens, acknowledge that they are unstoppable, and to try to soften the blow with 20th century inventions, including vaccines, antibiotics, and so on. The medieval way, inherited from the era of the Black Death, is brutal. Close the borders, quarantine the ships, pen terrified citizens up inside their poison cities. For the first time in more than a century, the world has chosen to confront a new and terrifying virus with the iron fist instead of with latex gloves. He was looking at what they were doing in China at the time. and thinking, this is what we need. We need the CCP. Well, he got the CCP. The CCP stole the election last November. And the communists are now in charge. And look at what they're doing. He wrote that in February of 2020. And look at what's happened in Australia, in New Zealand, in Britain, in Canada, and in the United States. And it's happening fast. That's what Tucker said to Sky News over there in that interview. I mean, it's just, we're rapidly going the way of Australia. Even here in the United States, the land of the free, supposedly. And then out come more restrictions. When we come back, I'll touch on this landmark case in the Supreme Court yesterday that even may overturn Roe v. Wade, of all things. So we'll look into that and then finish today's show with another Bible study. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
A child is a miraculous blessing from God, an opportunity to build his family. In his word, God says to train them up in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. But how should you train up your child? Most parents do not know. Most parenting books offer only limited help because their authors do not understand the purpose and potential of your child's mind. As a result, millions of children grow up to be hopeless without any direction in life. Many come from broken homes. Many do not have a home. This is why so many young people become delinquent, rebellious, and unsuccessful as teenagers and adults. But you can rear successful, jubilant children and avoid the heartache of an unhappy and miserable home. God has outlined how to rear obedient children in His Word. Our free book, Child Rearing with Vision, will show you how to raise children that follow after God's abundant way of life. It will help you build a strong, united family. It will help you bring God's love into your child rearing. And it will guide you through the momentous journey of preparing your child to serve God the Father forever. Request your free copy of Child Rearing with Vision at our website, thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
Yesterday, the Supreme Court here in the United States heard oral arguments over the Mississippi ban on abortions after 15 weeks. And if you're here in the United States and you're listening to some of the mainstream news networks, you see these radical leftists just absolutely losing their minds over just the thought of dialing back Roe v. Wade. And of course, there's plenty of conservative commentators that say this is long overdue because people on both sides of the aisle, they know that that 1973 ruling was unconstitutional. The Supreme Court coming along and saying, yeah, abortion, it's legalized all across the country. Never mind what the people think or say. Never mind Congress. And all this case pretty much amounts to is that the Supreme Court, if it did overturn the Roe v. Wade ruling, it would just turn the responsibility over to states as to whether or not they're going to have abortions or allow abortion. Even Mississippi is a red state. It's basically just moving it back to 15 weeks. So in other words, you can still get abortions. You can still get lots of abortions. You can still get millions of abortions. But the way these communists think, I mean, for them, Roe v. Wade is the Constitution. This is the supreme law of the land. We've got to be able to abort babies by the millions every year. Every year, we just want to keep killing off the babies. That's their religion. It's like the climate change people. Same spirit. Reject God. God's nowhere in the equation. Never mind. In fact, Sotomayor, you're just bringing up a religious view. This is not the forum for religion, she said. God is booted out of the court. God has no place in the nation. Just keep killing the babies. Just keep sending the girls to these abortion mills. And don't show them an ultrasound. Don't show them. And don't talk to them about how that little fetus feels pain. Just get the abortion going. Kill it. It was unconstitutional from the beginning. And judging by the oral arguments, I mean, it was quite stunning to me. Just having grown up, basically, in a Roe v. Wade era, to hear justices that sound like they may actually be siding with Mississippi on this. They may actually be saying, hey, it's up to the states. It's not our job to legislate from the bench. Listen to Justice Sotomayor and then the response from the attorney representing the state of Mississippi. His name is Stewart, I believe. Clip 8.
Will this institution survive the stench that this creates in the public perception that the Constitution and its reading are just political acts? If people actually believe that it's all political, how will we survive? How will the court survive?
Justice Sotomayor, I think the concern about appearing political makes it absolutely imperative that the court reach a decision well-grounded in the Constitution, in text, structure, history, and tradition.
So that's one of the radical leftists on the bench in the court. And she's saying, look, if we've got to be concerned about the public perception here. And the lawyer, to his credit, says, well, that's all the more reason why we just have to stay with the law, the Constitution. What does the Constitution say or not say? But see, they don't want to reason that way, the communists. They want to talk about, hey, if you don't rule the right way here, how can our country survive? I told you yesterday about Cindy Sheehan, the New Hampshire senator. She says, hey, if they rule the wrong way here, if they rule the wrong way, there could be a revolution. Here's a clip from that senator, clip 14.
I think if you want to see a revolution, go ahead, outlaw Roe v. Wade, and see what the response is of the public, particularly young people.
Go ahead, outlaw Roe v. Wade, and then there's going to be an uprising. Oh, yeah, another excuse to take to the streets and to burn cities down. These people, like Newt Gingrich said in that clip I gave you yesterday, they are crazy. They are the real insurrectionists. They want a totalitarian state where they can impose their... This woman, the senator, she talked about if it's overturned, that's totalitarianism. What's totalitarian is legislating from the bench, or in the case of Joe Biden with Omicron, to legislate from the White House by decree. He decides all these new lockdown measures in place, all these travel bans. Well, it's fascinating to watch what's been happening in the courts, because after the election steal last November, I mean, it just looked dreadful. It looked as if every judge was also corrupt. What does Habakkuk 1 say? The righteous just surrounded by the wicked. And yet we're not here to make the prediction about what will happen. I guess the ruling comes out probably in June, so it's a good many months off. And you've got the typical three conservatives on the one, firmly on one side, the three liberal justices on the other, and then the three in the middle that are up in the air. But listening to those three in the middle, it sure seems like they're siding with Mississippi as well. And you put this together with some of the more recent rulings that have struck down this unconstitutional vaccine mandate. Joe Biden sending OSHA out. But again, almost by divine decree, I said it. Now OSHA's going to implement these policies, and you better obey, you better submit. And some judges are saying, well, I'm not so sure about that. First, there's this victory for the medical workers. Biden wanted to use OSHA to force the jab on all these employees. That got struck down. And then later, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, he tried to use that angle to force people to get the jab. This says here, Judge Terry, it's from Reuters, Terry Doty of Monroe, Louisiana, temporarily blocked the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services from enforcing its vaccine mandate for healthcare workers until the court could resolve the legal challenges. And then it quotes this judge later on, "There is no question that mandating a vaccine to 10.3 million healthcare workers is something that should be done by Congress, not a government agency. OSHA can't do this, or the Centers for Medicaid and Medicare can't do this. If anybody, it's Congress." This same judge says it's not clear that even an act of Congress mandating a vaccine would be constitutional. But you sure can't do it by a White House decree. You can't force people to put this into their bodies. I mean, this is going on, by the way, when people are talking about abortion and how that a woman should, these same lefties, they should have the right to choose whether to kill the baby or not. They control their bodies, their choice, right? But not so with the jab. Here's another one. It says U.S. District Judge Gregory Van Tattenhove of Kentucky blocked the administration from enforcing a regulation that new government contracts must include clauses requiring that contractors' employees get vaccinated. So, I mean, they're taking hits everywhere that they go suddenly. And I mean, it's going to be, as I say, fascinating to see if the Supreme Court actually shows a backbone and stands up to the mob, and stands up to Cindy Sheehan. I mean, even what Sotomayor said, that in a sense was almost a, certainly these are more provocative. These are statements that actually will incite violence, much more so than anything Donald Trump said on January the 6th. He said, look, go to Congress, do it peacefully, but protest. That election was stolen. They rigged the election. And then you have these communist operatives that basically set it all up. You know, the problem with so many, Tucker brought this out in the clip I just played for you. The problem with so many of these Republicans is they accept the underlying premise. Okay, we do have to fight the virus. We do have to fight Omicron. It's a hoax. Don't even accept the premise. Well, I mean, January 6th, it was an insurrection, but I think maybe they're going a little bit too hard on these insurrectionists to keep them in jail without trial for 9, 10, 11 months. The Viking hat man is in jail for 4 years. They accept the underlying premise, and then it just, well, it's the road to compromise. They think they can compromise with the communists. That's why I said, and you know, you can sympathize with Tucker's take, that interview he had with the UK, with Nigel Farage. But, I mean, if you're looking at it just humanly, there is a ray of hope here. And it generally revolves around an individual by the name of Donald Trump. He goes on TV, says, yep, they used it. They used the virus to steal the election. And that's the straight up truth. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. I think Tucker knows it. Coming back to the courts here, I'll just refer you to January 2019. This is a Trumpet article. Is America's Supreme Court in Bible prophecy? And in this article, I don't have time to read some of the quotes, but my father talks about the favor that Donald Trump is going to ultimately find with these courts, the Supreme Court in particular. And so we'll keep a close watch on some of these rulings, not even just at the Supreme Court, but even some of these other federal courts that are now starting to crack down on this communist authoritarian regime that got into office illegitimately by stealing the election. In doctrines class here at God's College the other day, we talked about just how wonderful it is to have God's truth, to have restored truth, truth that has been restored to the church, truth that this world is well, it's just in darkness. It has no understanding of some of these basic truths about why we were created, what our purpose is. This is a quote from Missing Dimension in Sex. It says, that's Herbert Armstrong's book, textbook. We use it as a textbook here at the college. He says, man is a physical being, but with a spiritual attribute. And of the whole man, the mind with its spiritual attribute and potential is the all-important factor. So we're composed, you can see this in Genesis 1, verses 25 and 26, and then Genesis 2 and verse 7. Our physical makeup, our composition, it's nephesh, to use the Hebrew term, and it's just a physical, earthly, breathing creature, kept alive by the circulation of the blood and oxygen and so on. Food. Mystery of the Ages says this, now we come to another truth, so far as I know, exclusively to the one true church. He says, did you ever wonder about the vast difference between human mind and animal brain? This is a truth unique to the church. God's church, God's family, as I was telling the students yesterday, you could go through a psychology course at some top university in the land and never get around to this truth, this revealed truth. Even after sitting through 50, 60, 70 lectures. And yet this truth is made known in Mystery of the Ages, The Missing Dimension in Sex, The Incredible Human Potential. The truth about the human spirit. The truth about what separates the human mind from the animal brain. Your Bible gives you all that you need to know about that. But the scholars, the experts of today, they reject the Bible. And so they can't explain this. They hold to their religion. You want to talk about another radical, extremist religion? Evolution, that's a religion. The fact that we're just progressing, there's some kind of a link that connects us to an animal. And they have searched far and wide to find the missing link. They're looking in the wrong direction. The link is between human beings and God. It's not between human beings and animals. No, God made the animals. He made the animal kingdom. Genesis 1, 25 and 26 brings that out. And in physical composition, it's the same substance. But why is it a human being can think and reason and create and make decisions and plan for the day when a dumb beast of the field or a house pet can't do anything like that? Why the vast difference? Well, coming back to this spiritual component, you can see why God had to equip us with a human spirit. It has to do with this link between human beings and God. It says here in The Incredible Human Potential, man, to be born ultimately into the God family, was designed to have godly type mind, ability to think, to reason, to make choices and decisions, capable of forming ethical, moral, and spiritual attitudes. See, even without, of course, God meant for Adam and Eve to take from the tree of life so that that human spirit, that spiritual component, could combine with the Holy Spirit, like it says in Romans 8:16. Now, Adam and Eve rejected that, and that's, I guess, a topic for another program. But even apart from the Spirit of God, even apart from the Holy Spirit, the human spirit, the spirit in man, it's like Mr. Armstrong says there, it's a godly type mind in the sense that it can think and reason and create. It also has quite the capacity for evil, as we're seeing in our world today. It's because we're missing the other spiritual component, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of obedience, the spirit of love toward God above all else and love toward fellow man. John 4 and verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God's a spirit being, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. We need the Holy Bible. We need the Word of God. And we need the Spirit of God to open our minds to the truth. Look at how many people, while they may have read the Bible a time or two, Joe Scarborough's read it a couple times, he said so a few days ago, but look at how many different opinions there are on the Holy Bible. Look at how much disagreement there is. Look at the many different commentaries. Everybody's got a take on what it means or what it doesn't mean. And yet on something so basic as this, the truth about the human spirit, not even people of religion understand this. It's like Mr. Armstrong said, it's unique. This was in Mystery of the Ages. Another truth, so far as I know, exclusive to the one true church. This is from The Incredible Human Potential. It says, God is composed of spirit. All right, we just read that in John 4. He's composed of spirit. God is creator, designer, ruler, educator. God has supreme mind. He is the perfect, holy, and righteous character. It says, but he's using material substance from this physical earth with which to reproduce himself. Out of physical earth, he formed man in his image and likeness, form and shape, Genesis 1:26. But if man is to become God, in the process of God reproducing himself, then the character that is to be built in him must emanate from God. And the spirit life that is to be his also must emanate from God. So we need the Spirit of God to combine with, to join with our human spirit so that we can be begotten. There's life there spiritually. When that spirit from the Father comes into that ovum, so to speak, then there's life. We know when life begins because, well, for one, you just look at the spiritual parallel. Look at the way God refers to true Christians. He talks to them or about them as if they've already experienced their birth into the family of God. It is possible to be spiritually aborted if we forsake the way of God, if we turn our backs on this truth once we've received it and received the Spirit of God. But at baptism and at the receipt of God's Spirit, that's when life begins. And it works the same way in the physical realm. Once that seed from the Father joins together with the nucleus of that ovum, you have life. And it's just, there's just such rapid growth from the beginning. Every year in Principles, we go through this movie about, it used to be called The Miracle of Life, the older film we would view. I like that title better, but the more modern one with more technology available is called In the Womb. And this is a lot of the reason why the Mississippi case is before the Supreme Court now, because Mississippi is arguing, look, the technology has changed so much in 50 years since Roe v. Wade. We know that little fetus can feel pain. And so we don't want to cause pain to a life and kill it in the process. It should be so obvious, like Romans 1 says, by just looking at that microscope, looking into the womb of a mother, look at what happens from day one on. Forget about the 15-week period. Start at day one and look at this miraculous process as it plays out. It's of God. In this incredible human potential quote, it says, God has had to plan to bridge the gap between matter, of which man is now wholly composed, and spirit, which God now is, and man must become. So we're wholly physical, nephesh, just like the animals of the field. And yet God, as we read, is wholly spirit, wholly in the WHO sense. He is spirit. So how do, if the purpose, God's purpose, is to reproduce himself, how are we to be born into the God family as spirit beings? Well, there had to be a spirit to bridge that gap. God equipped man with a human spirit. Notice this from Zechariah 12. It says in verse 1, the burden of the word of the Eternal for Israel, says the Eternal, which stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. God forms it. God created it. So we have a brain, just like an elephant or a cow has a brain. And again, like Mr. Armstrong would teach, in physical composition, it's much the same. So how do you explain this vast gap between the two? Well, it's because of the human spirit. God formed that in man. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Glorify God in the way that you live your physical life. Glorify God in the way that you use your mind. Set your heart or your mind on the things above. Set your mind on the spiritual realm. Aim for the kingdom of God. Aim for your spiritual birth into God's family. It starts in the smallest possible way. Just a tiny, tiny little cell from the Father impregnating the ovum. And then you have life. You have spiritual life. Job 32:8 says, "But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding." There's a spirit in man, a human spirit. Incredible Human Potential says, "I have explained that human brain is almost identical to animal brain, but man was made in the form and shape of God to have a special relationship with God, to have the potential of being born into the family of God, and God is a spirit." It says, "To make it possible to bridge the gap, or to make the transition of mankind, composed wholly of matter, into spirit beings in God's kingdom, then to be composed wholly of spirit, and at the same time to give man a mind like God's, God put a spirit in each human." God put a spirit. This is not an immortal soul. That's a pagan doctrine. This is a human spirit that gives us the ability to think and reason. It gives us mind power. God formed it, like we read in Zechariah 12. And what an opportunity we have in the flesh, this short, temporary existence, to have our minds open to the truth, if that's God's will, and to embrace that way of life, to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirit. IHP says, "The most perfect mechanism ever designed and made is the marvelous mind and body that is man." David said, "It's fearfully and wonderfully made. Give God thanks." He's our maker. He formed that spirit in us. He's given us the ability. He's given us the ability to think and reason. He's given us a godly type mind. And look at what so many people do, how they squander that blessing away, a great blessing from God. Well, for those who don't know the truth, their opportunity will come later. But for those of you that know the truth, use the spirit, the human spirit. Aim for the spirit of God. Have your mind open to the truth of God. And eventually be born into God's family as a spirit being. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the show, you can write us td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.